At the UPS store, we know being a small business owner means holiday time is still go time. Still get those orders shipped time. And still re-up on stamps and supplies time. That's why this upcoming holiday, while others close up shop, we'll be open. And happy to help you keep being unstoppable. Come into your local store today. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
What's going on? This is your boy Jay Will, your host of the Jay Will Gospel Show right here on Anointed Radio Network. You can find Anointed Radio Network on at LV Anointed Radio on Twitter, on Instagram at LV Anointed Radio, and on Facebook at Anointed Radio. Business inquiries, email us at lvanointedradio@gmail.com. That's lvanointedradio@gmail.com. If you want to contact me, you can contact me at leewill@gmail.com, especially if you're an inspiring artist and you have music that you want me to potentially feature on my show, which is the Jay Will Gospel Show and the Unsigned Artist Gospel Show, which airs on itsallgospelradio.com. Listen, you can also follow me on my music page at James Williams Music. On Instagram, it's at James Williams Music 5497, and on Twitter/X is at James Williams M1. Again, you can email me at leewill@gmail.com.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen, homies and homies, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes? I have on the home me right now. I can't hold my peace. I got Ernest J. Lee and Keisha Grandy Lee. What?
What up, though, man?
Hello. Oh, my God. Oh, America's power cup.
Hey, I receive it. If that's what you want to say, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all joining your boy on tonight. Now, where y'all from?
I'm from Texas, Dallas, Texas.
Hey.
I'm from Detroit, the original Big D. You know, that's the second D. From the
original Detroit. Whatever.
We had to meet in the middle, so now we're in Atlanta. So,
hey man, hey, if y'all move like a couple of states over my way, y'all will be the typical Midwestern couple now. You know what I'm saying? Because we got the North going in with the South. Now y'all need to be Midwest.
Yeah. She don't know nothing about that though. She trying to think the South got it going on, but I got news for her. But it's all good.
Whatever.
So. You guys are married now. When did that happen?
We got married in July.
I said that's normally a man messed it over. July 27th.
July 27th,
man.
Yeah, that's July 27th. It was originally supposed to be one date, and then we changed it.
July 27th.
So, you know what's funny about that? Is when I asked the question, He already a seasoned married vet. He already pointed at you because he forgot already.
Yeah. No, I don't know where. I just think she got the, I knew she was going to mess that day. I want to pull a point to her. So it ain't me this time.
being that y'all have, in the words of Arsenio Hall, is it? Because both of y'all are like musical juggernauts. How is it being married as musical powerhouses, knowing that both of y'all still have your own production and singing going on?
For me, it's good. We kind of bump heads because I have my own creativity juices that flow, and he has his, and he don't want to listen to me sometimes. I be trying to tell him if he listens to me, then it will be great.
Mm. The last time a man listened to a woman, this is what happened with Adam and Eve, but I'm not going to go there. I'm just playing. But you know, it's actually cool, man. Honestly, I believe in collaboration and teamwork. It's just that sometimes as a producer and a visionary, you know, you have it like you want it in your head. But it's always good to have another person, you know, give you input, or another person give you sound input. So she's pretty good at certain things. I just think she's still learning my process, and I think that's just anybody that you work with. They have to learn how you operate, when it's okay to say something. And it's not that it's never not okay to say something. But what I mean is, sometimes in the middle of that process, you might be at a point where you may notice you need to change it, but you're still trying to get that idea out to a certain level first. And I think that's when we just kind of learn the balance of that. But I think it's still good, though.
Yeah,
that's cool, man. But I got to tell you, Mrs. Lee.
Yes.
You got your own in-house producer. You can come to him and say, hey, babe, I got this idea. And, you know, you women already have that certain swag and charm about you, the way y'all can make us do stuff we really don't feel like doing in the first place. He got to get up at that point, right?
Right. That's true. And I do that. That actually happened with a current project that he's working on, which is The Family. It was my bright idea to be like, hey, what do you think about doing a single on The Family? And he was like, well, let's do it. You know, whenever I ask him to do something like that, you know, musically, you know, he's always in, which I'm so thankful for. So, yeah, that already happens. I asked him to do a family single, and now it has turned into a full-blown project.
So, yep. While we're on that subject, when is that project to be released?
It's going to be first quarter next year. We're still trying to finish up. I got about three to four more songs to do. Their single is done. The actual single that we did on the movie soundtrack is already done. So that's going to be shot to radio real soon. But the actual single from the project will be released first quarter, and the full album shortly thereafter. So we're in the final stages.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Now we passed the 75% mark.
Okay, so for the audience that don't know, you know, about the background of The Family, can y'all give me a little historical brief about The Family?
Well, The Family started in 1991, 92, with a guy by the name of Kirk Franklin. We were known as Kirk Franklin and The Family. And we were a part of Kirk for about 6-7 years, something like that, 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he condensed the group to a smaller group, and we were known as the New Nation. So, yeah, The Family got their start with Kirk Franklin as Kirk Franklin and The Family. And now it's just going to be The Family, because you know Kirk is all over the place.
He's
he's his own entity.
Yeah.
And I felt like that The Family still has some life in it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're bringing The Family back to the surface.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, lady, how you with me? You got to get that down, bro.
Yes, sir. You know, The Family is, of course, a household name. A lot of times people only see the front person in groups. And truth be told, most of the time, groups are not made to last. I'm not saying that's his story about Kirk, but, you know, it's everyone evolves. And I think right now, he's so big, and I don't mean that. I mean it with all due respect. He can do whatever he wants to do. And I just think what the thing is, it's not that he forgot about The Family. It's just that he evolved into what he is now. And I think The Family kind of got left behind, but not in a negative way. It's just in a way of that was just a group. You know what I'm saying? That was the vehicle to get things to where they were. But I think, as he said, it's so many great singers in the group that you cannot just leave them where they are, because they were the actual sound behind why we sing Silver and Gold, all those Conquerors, you know, all those things from that first project. That when he blasted on the thing in 93, I remember being in Detroit just learning all those songs for the choir that, you know, in our church choir. So, you know, you can't let that die. That was a segment of music that you can't let die. So I think that that's the catalyst behind what we're trying to do now. It's not about recreating anything. You don't have to recreate what he did because it can't be duplicated. You just kind of pick up what they are and let them shine where they are. And that's what we did on that first single that's on this movie soundtrack, Love Mountain. You know, every one of them got a chance to step out front and do a piece. Yeah. To let the world know it's not just, you know, a group, but they actually are individual singers too.
Oh, yeah. And going backwards just a little bit, the gentleman who sang the solo at y'all's wedding, is he in the family?
Oh no, that's Lamont McCoy. That's one of my clients from Michigan.
Oh, okay, I know Lamont.
You play his music, I believe, on your show.
I do. Let me tell you,
that's Lamont McCoy.
I'm gonna come back forward, but let me tell you, that dude pulled that solo off with no music, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he is amazing. I love him.
Wow. But, you know, getting back to the family, I remember back in 91, which has been it's been a pretty good moon ago. probably been like 34 years ago.
34 years, huh?
My kids were just being born. And I remember listening to Kirk Franklin and seeing the videos and seeing the artwork. And I was like, man, they can sing. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that 30 years later, I'd be sitting here talking to one of the ladies who was on that project that's married to my friend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of, but, you know, I lived a lot on Kirk Franklin and the family music.
A lot of us did.
During that time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes things just evolve,
mm-hmm.
and we just move on to other stuff. And he moved on this other stuff, but
yes.
y'all still got a whole lot of sauce.
Yeah, man. They can sing. You know, it's all about, as a producer, it's all about, again, not trying to recreate something, but you have to listen to what they do and take that and go into your lab and try to make it work for where you're at right now. And I believe that they have so much left in the tank that, you know, you don't have to try to go back and recreate while we sing. You don't have to go back and try to recreate what you're looking for. You go back and you just take that sound and put it to where we are in 2024 and you got something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you may not be saying, okay, what's it been? But you might be saying, easy.
You know what's so funny? I'm actually only going to be on one song because it's the thing. That's the other thing as a producer you got to realize. People are going to always compare eras. And what I'm saying is, it's like Jordan and LeBron. You know, they both are great in their own right, but I don't personally feel like you should compare them based on, you know, the music is different now than it was back then. Just like sports is, you know, the people are now in basketball, they're bigger, stronger, faster. So it's not saying that Jordan can play or LeBron can play back then, but it's just a different game now. So, like, now, you know, I feel like I didn't want to step in front of them and try to, because that's going to make people say, oh, well, he don't do like Kirk do, or Kirk don't do like, I just didn't, for me, it's right. Not about that. It's all about the song. It's about the message of the music. And I think that they have a message. They have a story to tell. They've already had a hype man, so to speak. They've already had someone standing in front of them. They need to be in front themselves. And I think because they all have something to say. And I think that's what you have to be smart at and not try to, you know, again, I've used this word a lot, but it's true. You can't recreate that because people are always compared to when they should compare it.
Yeah, and, you know, it takes good wisdom and humility to be able to know your position.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, of course, now you do got the juice if you wanted to do that.
Yes.
You can, man, because I've heard some wonderful projects. But Mrs. Grandy Lee.
Yes.
When did you get started singing?
I started actually singing at the age of 4, professionally at the age of 18.
The age of 4. You know, I don't even know what I was doing at 4 years old, man. And so, you know, you just started singing in church and talent shows and stuff like that?
Mostly church.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
I sure did.
I thought you was a blues singer. I'm just doing
so silly. Y'all see how you do me.
Hey, that's love. You know
right.
So how many projects have you done as a solo artist?
I've done one with TJ.
Okay. Yeah, I got your, I got a couple of your pieces of music. I got So Holy.
Yes.
And the Jesus Be All Right.
Yes.
Hey, there's one part of that song that I keep rewinding and listen to it over and over again. And it's the...
On the end when she's doing that sketch.
Yeah. I'm like, she killed that, right?
I just didn't know you were going there. But you know, again, he let people perfect spot. Because let me tell you something, James. She has, and she can say this for herself, but I didn't know that she had the jazz background because, you know, I didn't go to performing arts high school. I went to regular high school. So, my city in Detroit, small town, we didn't have that. You know, they had it later. That's where actually Leah went. She went to Detroit Performing Arts, but they didn't have that when I was in school. And I'm sad to say, I didn't know that she had that jazz background or the classical background. So when you're producing somebody, you learn a lot about them. So that's why, you know, she kind of just did that kind of organically. That's just in her. So I didn't know that, because you would know that when you sing on other people's stages, you sing what they basically tell you to sing. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, what the song tells you to sing. But when you're working on your music, she was able to express herself that way. And I think that was major for her to actually show that she actually can do a lot more than squall, you know what I'm saying? A lot more than just growl, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she's good at that stuff, man.
that was tight. Hey, so, Ernest, when did you get started in music? I know you've been playing for 50 years. You probably started playing when you were 2 years old.
No, actually, I started on drums at 7. Okay. And I was, then I got a keyboard at 10, but I was a church drummer right around 9 or 10. I could hold the beat. And we went to a little small church, so I was a drummer. But then I've been the main keyboard player since I was 12 at a major church. My church has been on TV since that time. We went on TV the very next year. So, and I'm sad to say, so I've always been kind of in the front. So that made me not just want to be the keyboard player. I wanted to learn all the other stuff. But then I had to learn how to teach parts. I had to learn how to, you know, I would always hear a song and try to make it my own. So right around 15 to 16, I started, like, experimenting with writing. And so from there, I just exploded. I told the story before when I was on your show, I think, before. Around 94, Fred Hammond came to our church. He was the guest psalmist. And my band, man, the band at the church was dope. And we kind of flowed with him because we didn't do anyone's music. We kind of did our own. That whole When the Spirit of the Lord Comes Upon My Heart that he did with Radical Christ, that was our arrangement at church. That's a whole other story, but you know, that was our arrangements of that stuff. And from there, he kind of asked me and the drummer to come hang out with him at the studio. Just, I know a lot of people say that it's a cliche, but it's the real truth. I mean, he really did say that. And so we went, like, I think that Tuesday. That was Sunday. That Tuesday, the rest of the history, when I saw him in the studio up close to a legend like that, I knew what I wanted to do. So since around then, that was like 94 is when I really started actually in it, like 30 years now.
So when did you produce your first song?
My original project was 97. I wrote a couple of things before that, of course, but my production, my own, was 97. I did a project with my group, Spirit of David. It was recorded live at my church in Detroit. It's called Encourage Yourself, actually, is the name of the record.
Man.
It's actually on iTunes. I released it on iTunes last year this time, so it's out there. That whole project is out there. I was saved back then, so, you know, I had the Holy Ghost, so, you know, that music is probably different than what people hear me do now. Did you just wave me off, man? Whatever. I'm still waiting for you to get saved, but anyway.
Hey, and ladies and gentlemen, just in case you don't know, I need you to go and look up Ernest J. The other week, your wife posted you playing an anthem at church.
Yes.
I must have watched it like 50 times. I'm not even joking. Well, I was like... this dude, I almost said ninja, but this dude is I wanted the choir to just shut up. Now they were singing for real,
right?
But the way you orchestrated and maneuvered on the keys, man, I was like, man, this guy.
Thank you, man.
This guy's a beast.
Thank you. Yes. Well, you know, growing, I tell the story a lot. I'm sure she can attest the same having vocals around her in her city. But in Detroit, you know, we're known for good music, and it's not about who's better. I'm not about to have that conversation today. I'm serious about this. You know, having Twinkie Clark in the audience, you got Michael Brooks in the audience, you got Rudolph Stanford in the audience, you got Thomas Wolfe, it was a little before my time, but Earl Wright, all those people like that. they send up these musicals. You know, every city has musicals. And so as the young guys, we were coming up, we had to play that music. We couldn't transfer. Well, we, they didn't even have it too much back then. We couldn't transfer. We had to literally sit down and play it. So I've been disciplined like that, I think, for a long time. When you produce, though, you don't get a chance to show that. So I think that's why a lot of times I try to stay close to church, too, because it kind of keeps me balanced. Because, you know, growing up, man, we had Maddie Moss Clark. You know, she wouldn't let you. If you were going to play for the Michigan State Choir that she was on, Southwest Michigan State Choir, you had to play. I don't know if you ever heard of Craig Tyson. He was from Indianapolis. Craig Tyson, Marvin Sapp, all those people, Mr. Marvin Sapp, they were all in this choir. I was in PAW. And I was about 16. They let me play with the big choir. So I had to play, is my point. Like, all being around all those musical people, you couldn't play at it. You had to play it. And without all the extra stuff, you had to get on there and play it for real. And then they'll let you play. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's where it comes from, just being disciplined. You know?
Yeah. So, Mrs. Lee?
Yes.
I know, Beth, you're from, what part of Texas are you from?
Dallas.
Now, y'all got some show enough singers in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I moved from the west side of Chicago when I was like, I don't know, 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved to southern Mississippi.
Okay.
And church and singing in the south is totally different.
True. Like,
we would shut down church on Fifth Sundays and have singing conventions. And we would see some awesome singers.
Yes.
And I know you've ran across some awesome singers in your lifetime living in Texas.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
How influential was the Southern singing style? How influential was that with you singing and wanting to sing?
Well, the person that I really looked up to was Gay Arbuckle. She was a well-known local artist in Dallas, and I really looked up to her. My uncle, Don Ollie, he introduced me to so much different gospel music, and I actually zoomed in on Kimberly McFarland, which is from Chicago. So Kim was a very big inspiration to me when I was growing up, you know. I listened to all of her songs, but in Dallas, though, there are some amazing, amazing singers. The Andrew Brothers, Tommy Young West. Man, it's just so many to name. Carnell Morrell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dalen Collins. Yeah. It's just so many awesome singers in Dallas that it's just crazy. Still to this day, it's so many powerful singers there that, you know, is just amazing, mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of great artists come from Texas.
Yeah.
You know, there was a friend of mine that was playing, that was a minister of music at Greater North Shore in Slidell, Louisiana. And I had him to come over and do a workshop for me. And he said, James, I'm getting ready to leave. And I said, Michael, why are you getting ready to leave, man? You got everything set up for you right here in New Orleans. He said, God told me to move to Texas. The following year, Michael Stanford was everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's the next year he came out with the song, Holiness, Holiness.
Michael Stanford, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he went to Texas and just seemed like overnight.
He was part of the Potter's house for a minute, wasn't he?
Sir?
He was a part of the Potter's house too for a minute, wasn't he?
He was a part of the Potter's house for a minute. He was rolling with Benny Hinn for a minute.
Wow.
You know, but a lot of great singers come from Texas. So, since the two of you have tied the knot, y'all's married, y'all don't broke the glass, you don't jumped over the broom, you know, do they throw salt over, or sugar over their shoulder anymore? I don't know if y'all do that.
I don't know. I'm saying, I don't know about that.
I know they were throwing rice and they stopped throwing rice because rice kills birds, you know what I'm saying? Can't throw it rice. But since y'all are together, are y'all going to be like the new gospel Ashford and Simpson?
Well,
what we're going to do, we're going to do a love project next year. And I'm not a singer like that. I can
come on,
my stuff, but I'll let her do the singing. I probably, you know, I can come in and out. But I think it's going to be unique in that fact because it's not so much what we're trying to. I'm trying to sing with her so much. Trying to hang with her singing wise. But I think us being uniquely talented like we are, I think it's going to be a good project based on that alone. So I think, you know, we're definitely getting ready to start getting into that. Not trying to be so much, you know, a artist like that. But I think See, the thing about the industry is now, because it's so what we call deregulated, meaning it's not so you got to do it this way, you got to do it right. You kind of do it how you want it. So I think now you build your own platform by what you do. So whatever content you put out there is what people are going to consume. So I think, you know, you can be unique in what you do because now you control your own destiny. So I think we don't have to conform to, oh, well, there are artists. There are Ernest, EJ, and Keisha. I think it's no, it's just music. You know what I'm saying? I think that's
kind of
what my mindset is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that project.
Yeah,
you know, me too. I think
the last spiritual love project I heard was T.B. Jakes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Take a love song, and he gave some good advice. He said, "Don't buy Pat satin sheets. Satin sheets lie."
Wow.
All right, messed up. They're for children.
Hey, you didn't hear that, man? You gotta check that out.
Dragon sheets. I might not even know the onion if I heard it, but it's
when I heard that, I was like, oh.
But you know, we real people, man. And at the end of the day, you gotta have real songs. You know, and I think the only thing that makes music what we call secular or gospel or inspirational is the mood behind it. It's not the music per se. Which you record it, because it's like certain songs that certain people record. You can tell what they were thinking or what they were feeling by certain keys, certain movements. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about certain voice things that people do. You know, it's like, you know, I think that's really the only thing that makes it. That I'm of the mindset that the devil don't have no music. What we call the devil. Music was created. Everything good and perfect thing comes from God. He created it. Now, everything that God does, the enemy tries to pervert it. But music itself is not the problem. It's the spirit that you put behind it. So we all have to have music that we can listen to, too, that's not gospel, quote-unquote gospel lyrics.
Yeah. So you both have had longevity involving, you know, each facet of your career.
Mm-hmm.
What has given you the stability to keep the consistency with what you're doing?
I think for me, it's just my love for the craft of it. Even if I'm not on a Kirk Franklin stage, I've actually gone through a period as to where I started singing jazz full time. So, you know, just the love of being able to sing has always been something that I've always wanted to do. And have always been able to do, and I'm thankful for being able to do that. So, jazz, classical, gospel, those are the genres that I gravitate to, and thankful that I can do all of them and go out and perform and earn a living doing those other genres as well. So,
yeah.
For me, it's just about keeping. I had a conversation with one of my friends yesterday, keeping current. And what I mean by keeping current is as a person that's getting up, you know, in age, you know, 51, whatever, you 50, man. But
welcome
but
to the club.
I think that sometimes we date ourselves, especially as a culture. Sometimes, you know, people say, well, you too old to do this. You know, why they still doing that? And I think for me, I always buck against the system like that. It's just me. So I've always wanted to stay relevant. So I say that to say, for me, it's all about staying young. And I don't mean young in sound and immaturity. I mean staying around the people that I don't. What's new? What's the cutting edge thing? No, I'm not going to get on stage and rap and take my shirt off, but I can still learn why is the cadence like that? Why did they drop the beat right there like that? You know, why is this high tribute music going here? I think that you have to learn how to adapt. That's what I'm trying to say. So for me, it's adaptability and being consistent and staying, keeping your ear to the ground. So for me, I don't sound my age, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't ever, I don't think, okay, I'm this age, so I need to play like this. No, you play like you're here, you know what I'm saying? So for me, I keep all that around me. And then my son is into music a lot. So, you know, he always tells me when I start sounding, oh, you're like, dad, that's, don't do that. And he ain't even in the gospel stuff. And he'll tell me like, nah, dad, you gotta update that. So I think he's telling me that like about 5, 6 years ago, I'm thinking like, oh, you know what? I need to get back on it. So now I'm back on it. I'm back alert of what's happening now. And, you know, and I think that for me, it's just being adaptable to what's going on. Michael Jackson, if anybody wants to know how to stay relevant, it's Michael Jackson. Every producer that he produced on his, that he used on his record, from Quincy Jones was hired in the 70s. Then he went to the 80s with Quincy Steele. Then in the 90s, the music changed, right? New Jack Swing. Who did he get? Eddie Riley. Teddy Riley had a protege, Rodney Jerkins, that was taking that New Jack Swing and making it the 2000s R&B. So that's what he did. He went and worked with Rodney Jerkins. And those are things you have to remember. It's not that Mike couldn't use who he wanted. He knew, I need to stay with what's hot out here right now, because I'm going to put my flavor with it and it's going to be just fine. So yeah. I think you got to be adaptable to what's going on.
And you know, that's one of the reasons my wife used to ask me, why do I still play for churches?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I play for two churches on Sundays. I play. Mm-hmm.
And we know you don't need the money, big money, so I know you just doing it because you love it.
Oh, no. Well, I do it to do exactly what you say, dude. Stay relevant.
Yep.
Because if I don't, then, you know, I'm going to become dated. So,
there you go.
You have a production company.
Yes.
And you produce people, you do vocal coaching.
Yes.
If the people need production work done, first of all, tell us the name of your company.
Davis Dance Music is the name of my company. I have a dual thing, though, because I do music production, but I also do music consulting. So I have Davis Dance Music / Minstrels Consulting, which is the same. It's the same company under different umbrellas. So, you know, I do both. I do, because a lot of people don't know how, when they put get their music done, they don't know how to get it tagged for radio. They don't know how to put it out. So I do a lot of that as well. So I do music production along with consulting as well.
Okay. So how can they find you if they want you to do production work?
My website is www.ErnestJLeeMusic.org. ErnestJLeeMusic.org. On Instagram, I'm EJLeeMusic. And on, what's the other one? SoundCloud, same thing, Ernest J. Lee Music. Those are the music places you can catch me. Or just send an email to davisdancemusic1@gmail. davisdancemusic1@gmail.
And both of you have music that's on all digital platforms.
Yes. Right, Reborn is on all digital platforms, along with all the preference stuff that you heard on Save Me More Than Life. He Loves Me. Well, you did another one. That's the Christmas. What's on the Christmas project? The Night that Christ Was Born. That's all Keisha Grandy. She's done some independent work with people. Her project Reborn is on all outlets. It's getting ready to be re-released under Black Smoke Music in the first quarter of the year as well.
Okay.
My projects are out there. Encourage Yourself. I have one called The Renaissance on iTunes. My latest project was called Anthem from the Vault Volume 1. That's out there. And my single, Victory Is Mine, which is still playing and charting. That's up there too. Yeah. Hey, that's how many you met. You played Victory Is Mine.
I did. And I got Victory Is Mine, and then we kind of hooked up. We've been buddies ever since. But
yeah, I realized that this project with Keisha is, you know, we didn't put too much behind it yet, but we were going to push it. Because she has a couple of major songs. Well, you heard Jesus Be All Right, but that For the Good of Them was a tribute to Kim McFarland. Kim has given her her blessing. Kim loves the song. Actually, Darius Brooks gave me permission to record the song. So that's going to be a major song that she's going to push Canada, bring back that sound, bring back that real gospel sound, man. So look for it and look to see it being pushed. We got a video for it and everything.
Now, you know, I got you, man.
Yes, sir.
Give me the music. You know, I'm an E-Lee fan.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so very much.
Hey, but you know, one of my favorite songs that you did was Unstoppable.
That's the Caribbean feel.
Man. I was like, you went in on that one, man.
Man, you know, that's called collaboration. One of my friends gave me the outline of it with the drums, the Caribbean drums, and I came in and did the music for it, man. But wait till you hit this new season, man. I'm trying to go higher. We're gonna really kick it up a notch with this family record, man. I think people are gonna really be shocked to hear what they have going on, man. So we just excited about all of it, man. It's, you know, everything that you do gets you to the level that you are now to take it to the next level. So that's where we are right now.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, as much as I would hate to climax this conversation, we're gonna end on this note. I need each one of you to like encourage somebody right now. Encourage the artist. I mean, I come from an era where I'll be 55 next June. We always encourage other musicians. You know, oh no, you need to play this chord and don't do it like that. But now it's more cutthroat.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of musicians, I see a lot of singers get discouraged because they don't have the chops.
Yeah. So,
encourage them right quick.
Well, I would like to tell anybody who's trying to become a part of the industry or just being a singer, period. I think the most important thing is to find your own sound. Find the sound that God gave you. You don't have to sound like everybody else that's out here. I mean, why sound like somebody else when that person is already out? Find your sound and go forth. I mean, you may not be on the Kirk Franklin stages or the Yolanda Adams stages, but be comfortable in where God had have you at that time, because you never know where God may excel you to.
Right.
So always stay encouraged. Don't get discouraged because nobody's calling you to do dates. You find local places to perform. I go to your churches. Sing at churches. It's okay to sing at churches. And just be content until God decides that it's time for you to, for him to move you to the next step. So don't give up. Stay in the race. I mean, you know, I sung with Kirk from 93 until 1999. And, you know, I went through a point to where I didn't know what I was going to do next. Mm-hmm. And God just began to open up doors, other doors that I didn't even expect to open for me. And so I was able to work with Tyler Perry. Mm-hmm. I was able to work on other major platforms. So you may not start in this area, but God may open up another platform for you to start at. And you just never know where God will lead you. So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep pushing.
Keep pushing.
You know, everyone's fruit is not going to look the same. I had one of the major drummer that's in this industry text me today and said, man, Big Brothers need prayer. And I was thinking, like, wow, you know, you texting me. And he said, man, you know, I just don't feel like I'm doing what I need to be doing. He said, everybody tells me how good I am, but I don't feel like I am. And I thought about it before I answered. And I said, you know, everybody's fruit is not going to look the same. So right. You are honoring God with what you do if he's still doing it for him. So what I want to say is, even if that process does not seem like it's processing, you have to keep going because you are honoring God, whether you know it or not. You know, God is looking for your faithfulness. And I know we hear this as a cliche. You know, he's going to bless us. He's going to do this. But the thing is, man, everything that glitters not gold. Everything right. That you think is going on, some of these people that you see every day don't have no money like you think they do. And I'm not talking about it. I'm just saying, you know, they trying to keep this image, you know,
right.
To make it sound like they're doing so great and they're doing so much. But at the end of the day, man, long as you're doing what you're supposed to do for God, what we used to say in the church, only what you do for Christ will last, I'm going to take it a step further. It's good to do it, but do it with the right attitude, because don't do it just to get blessed. Do it because you just want, like, this is what you just said about playing in terms. You do it because you like doing it. And I feel like if you do it because you like doing it, it won't become a burden, because that's when you start looking around and see who's doing what. Then comparing your fruit to theirs. My fruit may not look like Kirk. It may not look like Fritz. It may not look like the next person. You know, but at the end of the day, does not mean that I'm not effective at what I do. As long as you're touching somebody with what you do, whether it's at church, whether it's on the street corner, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's, because that's the Great Commission, go out and compel men. So if your story is not changing anyone's life, then you need to check your story. Because your story, God never said you was going to be on the platform for a million people. It may be one person that you were supposed to touch. Right, but are you going to be obedient in that moment to do it? And I think that's where your blessing lies. It's not on the stages. It's not on, and everybody wants things, but you got to stop looking at everybody else's stuff. The Bible calls it the lust of the eyes. It's not about being deep and spiritual. It's about, it's a lesson in all this. The more you look at other people's stuff, the more you don't appreciate your own. And I think that's the problem with social media and stuff like that. We look at everybody's stellars, everybody at the Bills, everybody at the Grammys. And they're like, well, I'm good enough. Well, you probably are, but maybe that's not what God is calling you to do right now. And are you okay with it? I learned a long time ago that if I never make it to that step, I'm not confessing it. But if I don't, I'm fine, because I know that I'm touching people's lives on this level right here. And that's all that matters.
Well, the power couple. The Lee family. I'm going to write a jingle about that, man.
Let's do it, man.
Hey, I really appreciate y'all.
No problem, bro.
And I love you both.
Love you.
You.
Since you married to my boy, I can't love your husband and I love you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm always a phone call away. Me and him talk just about it every morning.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I try to make sure I keep connections with good people.
Most definitely. You do. I appreciate that, too.
All right. But listen, don't forget to check out my shows on It's All Gospel Radio. It'sallgospelradio.com. I'm on Sundays at 10 a.m. PST, 12 p.m. CST, and 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm on Mondays
Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget to send me that new music that you have. LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com. And if you have any questions about anything, you can email Anointed Radio at LVAnointedRadio@gmail.com. You can also find Anointed Radio on Twitter at LVAnointedRadio, Instagram at LVAnointedRadio, and on Facebook at AnointedRadio.com. Don't forget, you can also download the Anointed Radio Network app from the Google Play Store or visit www.anointedradio.com in your internet browser to enjoy great gospel music. Now may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord God give you peace. Don't wait till you get sick to go to the doctor and get some life insurance. You don't need it until you need it. Let's go. And it's for living his will, and I follow his way.